It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Budget day here in the UK, and this time the government is hoping to avoid another financial market meltdown. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Britain's chief finance minister will unveil a series of spending cuts and tax rises later this morning as he pledges to face what he calls an economic storm. As Jeremy Hunt tries to reassure the public this is not a new era of harsh austerity, he'll also be looking to avoid the mistakes of his very recent predecessors, whose so-called mini-budget triggered a near financial crisis in this country.
The government's confirmed it will press ahead with its economic plans despite the pound sinking to record lows against the dollar.
The Bank of England has had to spend £65 billion to prop up the markets. Where have you been?
We've got to remember we were looking at an economic slowdown which would have had a huge impact.
Liz Truss has resigned from her role as UK Prime Minister.
44 days of political chaos, uncertainty, and financial market turmoil summed up there in a few seconds. It all had a very real impact on businesses across Britain, including the Folio Society. It makes illustrated hardbound books and ships them all over the world. Joanna Reynolds is the company's boss, and she said she is still feeling the effects of that budget chaos.
I know from all the feedback I'm getting from colleagues and people I know in the States and everywhere else, that they're watching Britain and saying, what's happening? Is it secure? You know, it's causing concern with our customers. And that's, you know, that's really important to us as well.
Part of that squeeze on consumers is, of course, inflation at a 41-year high. There are also labor shortages across sectors. I mean, the budget today is expected to include a boost to national minimum wage. How will all of that affect your business?
It's the uncertainty at the moment that's causing so many problems. Delivery, supply chain, all of that's becoming an issue. And all of our fulfillment's done here in the UK. As we go into our peak trading, which is obviously this time of year, they're having problems getting the people they need because lots of the people that they brought in and they knew well have gone back to the European Union. All of those things start to really hit businesses and consumers.
So what do you want to see from today's budget?
Filling the sort of black hole that was created by the Truss Kwarteng mini budget needs to happen so that the Bank of England don't need to put interest rates up again. We have no borrowing, so we don't on one level get impacted by that, but lots of our suppliers do. And many of our suppliers have gone out of business. And so we need the certainty and we need to start allowing the chance for investment because it's been so low and it continues to be low. And we need our small and medium sized businesses to start investing. And that's difficult in the current environment.
Joanna Reynolds, Chief Executive of the Folio Society. Thanks so much for sharing your story.
Thanks, Victoria.
Well, there is optimism in the market ahead of that budget announcement today. As we check the numbers now, the British pound is higher against the greenback. It's trading at $1.19 at this hour. UK government borrowing costs, meanwhile, have hit their lowest level since September. That's just before the mini-budget announcement. Elsewhere, a deal allowing Ukraine grain and fertilizer exports across the Black Sea has been extended for 4 months. That's as Russia today has launched a new wave of missile and drone strikes across Ukraine. And while cities from east to west continue to come under attack, an Australia mining billionaire has announced a new fund to help the country rebuild. $500 million has already been committed, but it's expected to grow to $100 billion, as the BBC's Katie Silver reports.
Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky, said with this money, his country could become the fastest growing economy in Europe, if not the world. The Ukraine Green Growth Initiative was announced in Singapore on Thursday by billionaire turned philanthropist Andrew Forrest. He's pledged to turn the war-torn country into the world's first green digital economy. Here's Mr. Forrest speaking to the BBC.
It's primary infrastructure. It's what the Russians are busily destroying. I want to take that as an opportunity to completely replace old coal-fired nuclear power stations with brand new green energy.
President Zelensky supports the fund, which he said rather than replacing what he dubbed communist-era rubbish Russian infrastructure destroyed in the war, they will instead leapfrog to the latest technology. In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Katie Silver for Marketplace.
A Chinese-owned technology company has been ordered by the British government to sell the majority of its stake in one of the UK's few semiconductor manufacturers. The BBC's Gordon Carrera has more on that story.
Semiconductors are the lifeblood of modern electronic goods. And while Newport Wafer Fab does not make the most advanced of these tiny chips, it is one of the few manufacturing plants in the UK. That made its sale to a Chinese-backed company, Nexperia, last year controversial, especially at a time when the US is trying to prevent China catching up in this field. Now, the business secretary, Grant Shapps, has said that the sale must be unwound on national security grounds. He argues that it risked undermining UK capabilities and made it harder for a local technology cluster to emerge in South Wales. Nexperia said it was shocked by the decision.
That's the BBC's Gordon Carrera reporting there. In 2018, God of War became the best-selling game for the PlayStation 4. So the question for developers making the latest in the franchise is, how do you top that? With better accessibility features, apparently, as the BBC's Stefan Pell reports.
An immersive setting.
That bow's a little big for you, isn't it?
Slick combat.
There are consequences to killing a god.
And a heart-wrenching storyline.
Find your way home. You are free.
All made 2018 action-adventure game God of War, a massive critical success. But it had a clear weakness.
We realized that we had some big holes in the way that we were approaching accessibility. There were many gamers who wanted to play our games, but were unable to because of things like, you know, low vision, motor issues, hearing disabilities. We wanted to make sure that everyone was included.
Mila Pavlin and her team from Sony's Santa Monica Studios have been working on making the sequel more readily accessible for players with visual or hearing impairments, and for those unable to use a controller in a conventional way.
When it comes to 10 years from now, I would love to see every AAA game have that level of accessibility, to have every player feel good and feel taken care of within the industry.
Is it a God of War you came to find?
Now, this approach hasn't been commonplace in the games industry, just as video game accessibility critic and consultant Laura Dale explains.
What is it you will not tell me?
When I started making YouTube videos about accessibility in video games about 2.5 years ago, there were basically no examples you could point to of a video game that was broadly accessible for most kinds of disabled gamers. It is still a very positive surprise when you see a game go as far out of the way as God of War, Ragnarok does.
Increasing the number of people able to engage with titles like this by changing how the captions read on the screen, giving players visual cues for sound, or the option to fundamentally change how the controls work is a significant step for disabled players, but also makes financial sense for big companies. The more people who can play your game, the more they can buy them.
That's the BBC's Stefan Powell reporting there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.